I think that America is a very complex idea.
From north of the Arctic Circle in Dead Horse, Alaska, to way south in the Amazon rainforest, in a company town once known as Fordlandia, the Americas are big. They're a lot bigger, a lot longer, and a lot broader than we tend to think of as Americans, meaning citizens of the United States.
I grew up in L.A., so concrete, asphalt, glass, steel, you know, megatropolis, you know, Edge City, Pacific Rim, the edge of Manifest Destiny, you know, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, you know, the military-industrial complex. I mean, that's what I grew up in. So nature is completely, as far as I'm concerned, nature is dangerous.
Nature and the meanings and intimations of American landscapes are an issue that 45 artists are pondering in Unsettled Landscapes. Unsettled Landscapes is the first Sightlines, a new biennial exhibition at Site Santa Fe subtitled New Perspectives on Art of the Americas. It opened on July 18th. Welcome to the conversation.
So tell me who you are.
Daniel Joseph Martinez.
Daniel Joseph Martinez's work in Unsettled Landscapes is titled She Could See Russia from Her House. Those who wish for peace should prepare for war, old Sasquatch proverb, in search of the tribe called Sasquatch, or who really built the Alaskan oil pipeline.
The pieces from 2-month-long residencies in Alaska, both structured around durational performances. The basic proposition or posture were to try to cover as much distance and territory as possible in the shortest period of time. One of the trips was I traveled the entire length of the Alaskan pipeline, for example, from Valdez all the way to Dead Horse, Alaska, which is 180 miles above the Arctic Circle. And Alaska has very few roads in it. You can fit 8 Texases inside of Alaska. Alaska is extraordinary in size. Since we've not been to Mars, I'm not sure what that is, but if you would imagine what the Martian landscape looks like through the photos you've seen, that's probably the best, closest example to you have Alaska. Its psychological makeup is something that most people in the lower 48 have never experienced in their life. There is something undescribable that occurs by living in a place where 6 months of the year you live in light and 6 months of the year you live in a complete darkness. The fact that you live in a place where everyone carries a gun because bears eat and attack people all the time. That nature is a force, has not been tamed yet. It's still a force to be reckoned with.
Martinez described traveling around Alaska in 2 consecutive summers as having something in common with being a piece of mail.
Every place that I stopped at on one of the trips, I would take very standard postcards that would be of that place. And what I would do is then I would write these texts, making through old-fashioned little rubber stamps, moving the letters. I would construct texts that were existential questions, philosophical inquiries, interventionist poems, deconstructed fictions onto these cards, send them out to friends of mine, different people in different places, different countries, and then I sent myself a set, right?
Remembering one man's relationship with bears in Alaska, one postcard announces that Timothy Treadwell is alive. Treadwell was the protagonist of Werner Herzog's documentary Grizzly Man, about the 13 summers he spent living among grizzlies on the Alaskan Peninsula.
Nature and the weather, the environment, the psychological state, the emotional state, everything about it is something that is not within the normal kind of understanding of somebody that coming from a much more tamed environment or a built environment. And ultimately, with the piece that's in the show, the postcards appear to be floating in space. The text side of the postcard faces you, and you can only see the front of the postcard through looking at a distorted mirror.
Here, the material appearance of the work, postcards in front of distorted, wavy mirrors, meets a seminal work of psychology, Jacques Lacan's mirror stage. That's the idea about what happens in infancy to a baby when he or she sees their external reflection in the mirror and begin to conceive of themselves as an I.
It takes the idea of Lacan and the mirror stage, it dimensionally transforms the mirror stage into the idea of how the environment and nature functions in the sublime, but it's twice removed and twice mediated. It's a stereotypical postcard that is a cliche, that is mediated from the real experience, then that is only seen in a reflection that is distorted, and then simultaneously you see yourself in a distorted landscape of something that doesn't really exist. So it's a type of psychogeography of the mind.
So if somebody comes to the work and is trying to really decode it, they're seeing themselves in the mirror, and they can be seeing their own reflection in the mirror.
Yes.
So what in your view happens? I mean, what's a great form of engagement with your work?
It's an attempt to sort of bridge a state of consciousness. So but what happens is so that you're confronted by the text first, and then you see these distortions of images, and what usually people have not seen their image distorted like that. And if they have, they recollect it to, you know, sometime in the past, carnivals, you know, freak shows, Disneyland, where this idea of the distorted mirror or optics that alter in real time the reality of one's own self-image. Most of the time, though, people actually do not see themselves in the mirror. The image that people know is not the image in the mirror. The image that people know of themselves is the image that's in their mind.
Martinez stresses that Alaska remains a place apart. Perhaps critically speaking, Alaska, as isolated as it is, also remains a space where it's hard to catch accurate sight of oneself.
I've been many places in the world. No matter how remote, nothing is quite as surreal, in a sense, as this particular landscape. I grew up in LA, so concrete, asphalt, glass, steel, you know, megatropolis, you know, Edge City, Pacific Rim, the edge of Manifest Destiny, you know, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, you know, the military-industrial complex. I mean, that's what I grew up in. As far as I'm concerned, nature is dangerous. Like serial killers, murderers, nature, animals, insects, who knows? Like, I would never go to nature. So this was more of a process of trying to insert myself into this landscape to try to deconstruct something that was very foreign to me, but yet provided an experience I don't think many people are willing to do.
You should get around Alaska.
They have very few roads. You drive a little bit. So the way that we grew up,
planes.
Exactly. The way we grew up in cars, when you're 15, you get in your first car and you drive. Kids there get in their planes at 15, and they drive planes like cars. They have the largest water airport in the world is in Anchorage. Everyone flies planes. And they have no instrumentation in them. They have no parachutes in them. They just fly up. Everything is visual. If they crash, you die. It's over with. Everything is very clear cut, you know?
You were setting yourself some kind of task, though. Like, you went to something pretty uncomfortable for yourself.
Absolutely. And that's why I say it was like the proposition for me was always based in what I began with is these were a series of durational performances that required endurance. You sort of hit it right on. Like, my time is the 60s, 70s, and that's sort of when I got educated at CalArts by, like, the fathers of conceptualism, Asher, Baldessari, Hubler. So it's using these conceptual, you know, philosophical parameters by which to make these kind of projects that are non-object based. And so this is the most object you're going to get out of these kind of performative activities.
I comment that the objects are seductive in their appearance.
I think there's still a siren's call here.
There is.
There's an overt use of beauty that is tactical and palpable,
yeah,
within the way that it's been organized, materially organized. In the standard contract we have for viewing art, you have the object and the art is in front of you. You are denied that. You are denied the relationship of the standardized image. You can only see it through its own reflection. And that reflection is uncanny because it's not the image that you expect it to be. So there's somewhere in there that there's a psychogeography, or how do you set in motion some kind of drift, a consciousness that in a sense is set afloat, right? It's a dimensional space. That's why I say it's actually not the objects. The transaction is the one that happens in the in-between space, right? There's something that occurs in between there that I think is what the people that are interested will get attracted to that.
Martinez had an exhibit, and he's an artist from L.A. And when I read his placard, the food for thought was that hegemony structures identity and desire. And it made me start reflecting on all of our institutions, church, work, family, parents, children, you know, all of our daily institutions and how that balance of power structures our identity and our desires within the functioning of those institutions.
Unsettled Landscapes remains on view at Site Santa Fe through January 11th, 2015.
When people say they're Americans, really, I know people in Chile that also say they're Americans.
For Adobe Airstream Radio, I'm Ellen Berkovich.